Thank you, Father. There's a presence here to encourage us today of re-strengthening. Sometimes in our following a God, when things don't go the way exactly how we wish they would, endurance needs to take place where you endure through everything the devil throws at you. But there's grace and strength that's available not from this world, not from your own self, but from God Himself to you. And so if you're in need of that in your walk, then let's just lift up our hands and take a moment and receive from Him strength, grace, to continue on the path that He asks of us personally. Thank you, Father. Maybe some of you are facing a decision that you've been putting off, and today's your ammunition to be able to make that decision and implement it. Maybe some of us, or maybe someone here, is feeling discouraged. How long is this going to take? His strength is here to encourage you. Don't give up. Don't change course. Don't be pushed off the path that God placed you on. Thank you, Father. We take confidence in our Father. We take confidence in the Holy Ghost. We take confidence in what Jesus has done for us, that we will not fail, because we will not quit. Father, we thank you. Your grace is all we need. Your grace is our strength to overcome, our strength to endure, our strength to press through, our strength to walk in what you've asked us to walk in. We come to you today in humility, knowing that it's not from our own strength, our own will, our own ability. But in humility, we ask you to empower us by your grace to continue to walk with you day by day. In Jesus' name, I receive it now. Just say that to him. I receive it now. I'm trading my weakness for your strength. I'm trading my poverty for your provision. I am not lacking in anything. I'm not lacking in strength. I'm not lacking in authority. But through the blood of Christ, all of that was purchased for me at salvation. I'm free today. And I won't quit. In Jesus' name. You make me strong. You make me prosperous in all areas. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited today. You know, when circumstances don't line up, you can still be excited about your future. Amen. The world thinks you're crazy. The world never thought I was that crazy until I suffered the attack of the stroke. And I started talking the word to the world and to the opinionators of my destination. They had opinions about where I'd end up. Because everyone else in my condition ended up at a certain place, they figured I was like them. But I'm not subject to their standards or their boundaries, amen? And it doesn't matter how long or how big the fight is, you don't have to submit to it. Because you're a spiritual creature. You have access, and I have access to all of God. All of salvation brought to us, everything from heaven that we can walk in. And for some of us, we have to prove that to the enemy and to ourselves, that God's word is true and everything else is a lie. You know, you can walk into something feeling like you're not going to win, but still win. Some of you got that. Some of you might get it. But you can walk towards a fight thinking you're going to lose, but still win, because you're not thinking out of your natural man. Amen. Your natural man, my natural man has always told me, you're not good enough. Everything God's asked me to do, my natural man has disagreed and tried to tell me to wait. Wait, you're not ready. You're not good enough. But God thought I was ready. So there's times I walked into things fearful and in fear. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. It's not going to work. And it's really because my natural man has a view of Alan that is still has to be mortified from his youth. But my inner man has a view of Alan, the real me, from the Word of God. So when God says you're ready, doesn't matter if you're drag your flesh kicking and screaming and crying and complaining, drag it on in there anyway. Because if God thinks you can win, guess what? You can win. Amen. Well, let's go over to 2 Peter. We're going to start here. We're just going to continue to share a little bit more about the image that I'm trying to get across. And you may ask me, well, why are you still bringing this stuff, the props up, and talking about the same thing for a whole year almost? Mostly because if we get this in us, it sets you free from so much garbage. And it tells you who you really are, and it should encourage you for who you're not. The other thing is, if you get this image in you, you also, the scripture will start to open up much clearer. So let's start in 1 Peter, chapter 2 Peter, sorry, chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained the like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things. So say this with me, just hold your finger on that verse and say, God has given me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This is according to his divine power. Now when he says all things, I like how he prefaces it with of life and godliness. He didn't give you the hard time. He didn't give you the bad stuff. Remember, really simple rule. God is good, devil bad. Okay, so anything bad, devil. Anything good, God. What I love about God is he can turn the bad into good. Verse 3, according to his divine power has given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Say knowledge. Now this is important. Whereby, verse 4, we're going to stop in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Now, let me bring some props up here, and maybe Joel, you can help me. Can you grab this box and put it up on stage over here? Joel's grabbing the box of the new nature. The new nature is a big white box that says new nature on it. Now, he used to have an old black nature, a nature of darkness. Now, when the scripture says that you have a dead nature, death, a dead spirit, it doesn't mean dead like lying on the road dead, an animal that's been run over. It means it produced death. It oozes death, darkness. That's the nature you received from Adam. But you, when you were born again, the nature was taken out of you, quickened. In an instant, that old nature was replaced with a new nature. And that new nature came from God. It was righteous, holy, light is called, life. And it oozes life and light. Now, I don't want you to get too spiritual about this new nature, because really it's describing simply a nature that teaches an animal what to be without thought. And I won't go into Pastor Dave's Chuck the Duck. He's here. He'll get all excited if I start talking about Chuck the Duck too much. But we have a new nature, amen? What I want us to see is that the new nature, when it came into you, was complete in itself, but it did not make you complete on your path. Let me try that again. The new nature when it came into you was complete in itself, but it did not make you complete. It's what you become complete to. So let's get my Jake the body snake up here. He's going to play the natural body. Now, is the body evil? Let's just say the body can play good, but it's not good enough. Now, this is your natural man. Now, let me bring Sean. You can be the inner man. Now, every person born in this world is born with a spiritual body and a natural body. They're twins. They're conjoined. They're joined cell for cell, the mind, cell for cell, the will, the emotions. The natural soul and the spiritual soul are connected, and they're in perfect unity because they're in perfect darkness. Now, the spiritual man, wave at me, spiritual man. Okay, the spiritual man contains a brain, a mind. The natural man contains a brain and a mind. They're connected together, cell for cell, perfect unity. The problem was their nature was dark. So here you have a person of the world taught and trained by a dark nature. So the inward man and the inward mind was trained and taught by darkness. That was his teacher. It learned darkness rules. But when you got born again, the Bible says that this inward man, because of the new nature, say amen if you're still with me, so, because if not, I'll start all over again from last year and we'll go step by step. Better amen. Better hear some good loud amens here. So now that your new nature is alive, see, you have a body. You have a body. You have an inner body. I don't want you to get too confused with this because you have a body. Someone goes, one lady, man, we need revival. One lady went on a trip to Mexico and got caught, went skiing, came to get out of the boat, and the propeller cut her leg, and they had to amputate her leg, and now she's having problems trying to get something to walk in. You know, we just need to get to a place where she can come to church and get a new leg. Amen. But until then, they're trying to help her along. Well, she lost her leg. Is she still there? Yes. So I want you to understand, you're not your body. You have a body. You live in a body. You are not your body. Now, so let's bring up David. Come on, David, you can be you. You have an outward body. You have an inward body. Before you were saved, they were perfect twins. Never argument together, but they were perfect. Perfect in unity. Everything. Thoughts, emotions, you were where you, who you were. But when we start reading through the New Testament, we see that the writers begin to break you apart into pieces to help explain what happened to you. Because the questions begin to come up. I got saved. You come get born again. Okay. I accept Jesus in Jesus' name. You come to the altar. You kneel down. Now what? See, someone had to tell you what happened to you. Because they were discovering as they walked, the Holy Spirit began to teach them things about who they were and how everything happened. Because everything happened legally. It was something you can look at and see legally why it happened. Why did Jesus have to come the way he did? Why didn't God just snap his fingers and fix it all right when Adam fell? Because legally he had to make a way for us to be born back into the family of God, or born into the family of God. A legal process had to happen. And that legal process for you is not complete until the day this old body that you're wearing right now, this natural body that came from Adam, is replaced, is quickened, and instantly transformed into an eternal body. You're not done. God's not done with you until that happens. Say amen if you're still with me. But until that day happens, you're still wearing this natural body. Now, the natural body, to walk around in, is important. You can ask me if I think it's important, if I realize how important it is, when half of my body stopped working in an instant and we're getting it all back. The natural body is important because we want you here on this earth doing things. But the natural body as a vessel must also be submitted to the spiritual man. So, back here, where am I? I'm here in 1 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, now we can go back one more verse if you want, we can see by the knowledge and by these, the promises of God, that by these ye might be, what does that word say? Partakers. Now, have you ever partook at a buffet? So you understand, good church folk understand partaking very well. All right? But where are we partakers of? Where does it say you're a partaker of? The divine nature. Now, whenever you see divine nature, when you see righteousness, light, we think of the new nature. So if Rachel will come and dress Jake for me with his attributes of the flesh, I want us to see quickly. In fact, while she's doing that, we're going to go over to Galatians chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 17. Now, these are familiar verses. So as I'm attempting to paint this picture, just live with me and don't let your mind just jump to the verse. But allow this imagery to grow in you, because then when you read the scripture, it will show you exactly what he's meaning. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit. Now, we can look at our inner man and put him together with the new nature. Sean, the inner man, is going to stand with the new nature, and we can put him aside and say, that's a spirit. That can be a spirit, just like your car. You have a car, but you got a front seat and a back seat. It's still a car. Well, this is what we can call spirit, our inner man and the new nature. But here he makes something a little more specific. He says the flesh lusts against what? So he's telling us, in English, we compare something, what we call as apple to apples. Okay? And we say, well, you can't compare apples to oranges. All right? So you can't look at a man and then look at a woman and say, well, look at your muscles. You're so strong compared to that girl. What's wrong with her? You say, well, you're comparing apples to oranges. You can't compare the muscles of a man compared to the muscles of a girl. A healthy man and a healthy girl will say. So when you're comparing apples to apples, that's a way to interpret Scripture, too, is the flesh lusts against the spirit. So he's identifying two parts of you. See, why are you breaking this down? Because the Apostle Paul is breaking you down. He's identifying two parts of you. The fleshly part, the body, the outward body, versus the inner body. See, who would pay to go watch a boxing match between a 300-pound heavyweight boxer who's going to fight a 120-pound lightweight or light featherweight? You're not going to pay money for that, because I can tell you what the outcome is going to be. The little guy's going to run around as fast as he can until the big guy gets one touch of him. He'll just breathe on him. The little guy's going to fall over. So you're not going to pay good money for that, but you're going to pay money if you're going to see a 300-pound guy fight a 300-pound guy. Who's going to win? We don't know. It's a fight. So when it tells us here that the flesh lusts against the spirit, he's identifying two parts of you that fight against each other. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, verse 17, and the spirit against the flesh. So we can see here they fight against each other. So technically, he's not talking about the new nature here, but you could throw that in there as a spirit when it talks about our inner man, but the inner body contains the new nature. Here he's talking about a fight between the natural body and the inner body. Say amen if you're still with me. All right, I'll get amens out of you, don't you worry. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay? Then he goes in to talk about the works of the flesh are manifest. And these are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, Now, part of the old King James is nice to read it because who does these things, you know? Variances, idolatry, witchcraft. But if you look down to what they mean in more modern English, you might be a little more scared to know that some of these are lying within yourself. He talks about the flesh and the works of the flesh, but then in verse 22, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? We must see what spirit he's talking about here. The inward man versus the new nature. So here we have someone who has the works of the flesh fighting against the Spirit. How many have been in a kind of a war sometimes between those two? And all of us went through this process, this thought process. All of you did. You went to the altar. You knelt down. They said, you get saved. Jesus loves you. Everything will be good. You asked Jesus into your heart. You're free. You felt that freedom until things started to fight back and creep its way back. Thoughts and ideas and opinions, temptations. And you thought, I thought, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Maybe I didn't get saved. How many have been through that? All right. So where does these struggles that you personally deal with, I'm preaching to you, not to me, that you personally deal with, where do those struggles come from? The natural body. See, you no longer have a nature of darkness, but within your natural body, it contains deeds and desires left over from the natural man, from the old nature. My reason for showing this to you is not to justify it's okay to live like that. That's not the reason I'm trying to show you where these thoughts and wrong desires come into your life. Gary preached. I listened to a message just yesterday trying to prepare for this sermon. I was going to steal some things. But he was talking about smoking. And this is back in the day. He was praying in his old ugly building, and I remember listening to you teach, Gary, and I thought, man, I can't wait till I get to be his age. I can teach that good. And he's like, now I just turned 50, I think it was. I was like, wait a minute, that's pretty close for me. I better get my act together. And Gary fought with smoking tobacco. Nathan preached about he fought with smoking pot. They both fought with something. I'm talking about them now. Me, I've been good since birth. So, I was born a good child. So. Yeah. Why are you laughing so much? No. My wife's not here. No one can call me out. But see, Gary didn't fight with pot, if I'm correct. But why did Nathan? Because their flesh, their body, fought up with different upbringings, different desires, just like your fight is different than someone else. You still have a fight, but it's different. Now, some of the things that you felt that when you got saved, you knelt down at the altar, some of the things that fell off of you, we call worldliness. Things that everyone did in your neighborhood, so you did it, but once you got saved, because you got a new nature, you no longer cared not to do them. It was a quick thing. But why did something stay? How many had something stay? Don't hold your hand up. But you had something stay that traveled with you from before salvation all the way through salvation. Through being asking Jesus in your heart. Something stayed. Well, the reason they stayed was because there was a connection to your natural soul. Your natural soul is fed by certain things, all right? And your physical body, too, can be addicted to certain things. But mostly, it's our natural soul, natural mind, will, emotions, intellect, that are needing things from you. And that can be emotional. It can be addiction to things. It doesn't just have to be, listen, the top 10% of sins, smoking, drinking, drugs, running and doing with those, doing fornication. Those are just the top 10% of sins. There's another 90% of flesh thoughts that you have to deal with in your life. That is just as much sin as those other things. So in verse 17, Galatians 5, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary. There's a fight. They fight against each other. There's a tug of war between your flesh and your spirit. Now, just stay with me. And we're going to go over to Colossians. I'm not going to take you to all the verses that I want to go to, but we'll just jump over to Colossians chapter 3. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So how many here you're born again? So now he tells you to seek. Now that you're born again, he wants you to seek the things that are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, our famous verses. Mortify, say mortify. Now, Pastor Dave can preach this, but when you hear the word mortify, it's tied into other words that we might identify what that word mortify means. If you are mortified, if you yourself were in a mortuary, and you could see there was a mortician standing above you, and you're lying in a mortuary, see, and you're mortified, guess what? You're dead. There's no life in you. Now, think about this for a second. No life in you means no strength in you. So I want us to look carefully here. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he tells you the members that you have after he explains that you're risen with Christ. So you have within you, where, what part of me, where do these lie? See, this is so important because you will either walk through this life feeling like a dirty, rotten, scoundrel dog, failing every single day because I have this fight within me, voices talking to me, ideas coming to me, which don't line up with who God says I am. Don't look too innocent now. And so if you think that it's just because I'm not saved enough, it's just because I guess the salvation, when I got saved, it didn't quite take, like the guy next to me, you know. Some of you ladies get your nails done and look all pretty, then you I always love it. It always confused me for years being a married man. Ah, oh, I chipped my nail. So? Well, now you got one nail that doesn't match with the rest. You know, so chipping the nail for ladies is a big deal, guys, you know. I guess that nail polish didn't take, so my one nail is a failure compared to the other nails, you know. Bad nail, loser nail, you know. And but see, so many Christians will walk through this life feeling totally like dirt, rotten scoundrels because you haven't conquered your flesh yet. Not me, though. I've done got hold of everything, and I'm just, the rapture's waiting on me. I'm not waiting on the rapture. Yeah. I can't preach to you unless I'm there already. You know that, don't you? I used to think you preach from the mountaintop. You know, like you preach up high and tell everyone you want to have everything like I have. You want to be anointed like me. You want to have prosperity like me. You want to have a beautiful family like me. Then you should listen to me and follow me. And then once you go through trial, you actually begin to preach from the valley. It's like, all right, doesn't seem as pretty as it is, but we keep walking through. And I found out a lot more people are going through garbage than are not going through garbage. So it's better to preach in honesty from the valley than in lying from the mountaintop, you know. So mortify, therefore, your members. I love it. He's not he's such a good preacher. Okay, look at me in the eye. You mortify your members. You got them. I know they're in there. You may dress pretty and look good and shine your shoes before church, but I know that you have within you, in your members, things that must be mortified. Thoughts, ideas, opinions, voices that don't originate from the Spirit, but originate where? In this ugly body. See, this ugly body has areas that must be mortified. So looking at our image on stage, we have David, who's in the middle, and he's representing you. You, God, in his incredible ability, made it possible to take you out of one creature and take you and have you transferred over into another creature who now is a child of God, and finish the process in the end by giving you a whole new makeup, a whole new body, where you in the end up totally a complete new creature. Do you know that in eternity there's no struggles with sin? There's no struggles with temptation, jealousies, envies. There's no more of that once we get to heaven. Hallelujah. In eternity, once we get clothed with a new body, it's not going to be a body that fails you. It's going to be a body that lasts with you forever, perfect in unity. The inner man will be in perfect unity with the outward man. See, before you saved, the inner man was in perfect unity with the outward man. Then you got saved. And because the new nature came in you, it brought to life the spiritual body. So now you have a war between the two bodies. Your soul, that mind, will, and emotions are connected to two realms, the natural realm and the spiritual realm. That was fine before you were saved, but after you were saved, now part of your soul wants God in holiness and godliness. The other part of your soul longs for deceit, lies, envies, things like that. So that's the war. Now, when you receive your new body, either at the trumpet sound, if you're on this earth in a moment and twinkling an eye, this body will be quickened like the new nature was. And you receive a new body. And once again, the inward body will be in perfect unity with the outward body. Are you still with me? All right. So the word here we're looking at is mortify. Now, we've seen this in other scriptures, but we'll just stay here for a little while. Mortify. Just say that together. That's a good word. Mortify. Now, someone asked me, when are you going to stop preaching about mortification? Die, die, die. That's all you're preaching about. When do we get to live? And I said, well, you're just confused because you think, scripturally, we do it every day, so I'm assuming that's till we get to heaven or get a new body, you're going to have to mortify this thing. And I said, you're just thinking that you're giving up things that are good. But you're really giving up garbage. A shallow, cheap imitation for a treasure that's within it. Something that's beautiful and priceless and eternity lasting. So you're not giving up anything in mortification that's worth anything. You're just having to put an effort to challenge it. And that's why we need the Word of God. Because the Word of God says, you can challenge this. Now, make it personal so you really understand. But I've had doctors who supposedly know what they're talking about tell me and to give up on believing for full recovery. I've had even physical therapists try to hint nicely to give up, and I fired them. You know, I said, I'm not paying you, but I'm firing you because I won't accept that. You have to stand with me that there's hope to recover, and you don't have to tell me that garbage. You may think you have to tell me that garbage. Well, you know, we don't want to get your hopes up. Shut up. I don't need to hear that. There's nothing the Word of God says that there is any truth about what. I don't care how many people you've helped. You've not helped me. But I can look at the Word of God and I can say, I don't have to submit to what circumstances are trying to tell me. Now, this is just a physical manifestation of something I'm going through, but you are going through things that have been for a long battle. It may be emotional, it may be sinful, it may be all kinds of things that you're struggling with, voices, opinions. Maybe it's self-worth. You always feel unworthy. Well, that garbage does not come from your spirit man. That didn't come from God. That garbage comes from your natural mind trying to get his opinion in about you. You spend enough time with God, look at the word, you'll find out, oh, I'm a child of God. I'm righteous. Oh, would you look what you did yesterday. Oh, shut up. We're not going to hide that. You know, that's what a lot of Christians do. They hide their struggles because they don't want people to know that they're struggling, because then you'll think they're faithless. We don't want to be a church like that. But also, if you get into the habit of feeling faithless because of your struggles, when you approach God, you will do the same garbage with him. As if he can't see what you're struggling with. As if he doesn't know, but still you approach him in the person that's perfect, saying, God, please be my provider. Don't look at the stuff I'm struggling with. Where God wants you to come fully to him with all your garbage and all your struggles and say, Father, this is my struggle. I'm cleansed by the blood. I don't accept this as being me. And I'm overcoming this. Until I'm overcoming that, I'm not going to wait to spend time with you. He doesn't want you to wait until you're perfect before he spends time with you. That was a good time for a big amen there. Amen. All right. So here you are. Now, look what happens. This is interesting. Your inner man, which was dark, trained by darkness, your spiritual body, your inner man, was once trained by darkness. But the moment you're saved, your inner man was brought to life by the new nature. Your flesh, your body, outward body, was left alone to rot off of you. That's what's happened. I can stay and talk about this ugly body all you want. But many people try to understand God with their natural body. They take their natural man. Don't ever study the Word of God to study it, because your natural brain will come up with crazy ideas. You learn how to submit your spiritual mind to God's presence, to God's Word, your spiritual mind to the Holy Ghost. And then through the spiritual mind, you begin to make the natural man submit to the truth that's in you, spirit to spirit. Verse 5 again, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. So he's still telling you, you have these members. Mortify them. This is a job. This is something you and I have to actively do. Now, the word mortify means what? Dead. Let me see. Joe, come up here. Joe's walking up here now. We're going to mortify Joe here in a second. Here he is. Now, ready? Boom. Right in the heart. Joe is dead. Dead means there's no life in him. You understand? Think about a man laying here who's dead. Most people have not seen a dead guy. But when you have seen one, you realize they're dead. And I put my chest up to one guy, and there was no breath in them. And I understood when they said, talk about it being silent. That silent is death. Just deadly silent. There's nothing. You expect a heartbeat. You expect a movement. There's nothing. Mortified means no life in it. Are we in agreement? Okay, so what's he telling us to mortify? Verse 5 of Colossians 3. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil corruptions, covetousness, which is idolatry. Can I be a righteous child of God and fight with struggles of the flesh at the same time? Yes, you can. The argument that we would make here is that if you accept your flesh as who you are, then you're walking away from God. Not so much that you've overcome all your flesh, but you've drawn a line that say, I won't accept my body, the thoughts of my natural mind, the emotions of my natural man as who I am anymore. I will fight it until I mortify it. So the argument we're making here is not that you have to be perfect to be righteous, that you're righteous because of who Jesus made you. But if you choose along this path to accept your flesh as who you are and stop fighting it and start arguing for it. I have a reason to be this way because this happened and this happened and this happened. Listen, you're allowed to look at everything past. Look at it all and say, shut up. You're not who I am anymore. I don't accept brokenness. I don't accept hurt. I don't accept these things because the Word of God tells me who I am. So we see a process here of mortification, and we read earlier about adding knowledge. See, now let's read on. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God has come upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds. So do you see this? Putting off is a process of taking areas that you struggle with and putting them to death. We would also term that mortification. Now, verse 10. And have put on, say on, the new man, which is, what's the word there? So who's renewed? The new man. See, the inner man must be renewed. What does that mean? Well, the new nature came to you as a full package. You're not going to get more nature. It's not going to grow. That new nature itself is what we allow ourselves to mature to. And you can say, I mature the new nature, I mature to the new nature. And so it says here, verse 10, and we put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now we read in 2 Peter how we partake of the new nature. See, so where do we get the things to put on? Well, we can go back to Galatians if we need to. Galatians 5. And we'll look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So here's what I want us to see. A couple of things. The fruit of the Spirit. Say fruit of the Spirit. He's using this as imagery. Have you ever seen a tree that has fruit the next day after you plant it? So there must be, it shows a mature tree has fruit. And where does this fruit come from? The new nature. So the process of putting off the old man and putting on the new man, they go simultaneously. That you do both at the same time. You reach into your new nature and you partake of that divine nature. Will you grab this rope and the big scissors up there for me? Forgive me if we're just reliving this, but it's really important, I believe, that we get this in us so we understand the difference. So it is your job to put on the new man, to renew the new man. The Holy Ghost doesn't do it for you. You must do it with his help. It doesn't come instantly with salvation. Spiritual fruit doesn't come instantly with salvation. Are you with me? Mortification does not come instantly with salvation. Now, the reason I'm trying to say this is because I don't want you feeling like a sheep-eating dog, like a low-down, dirty guy at the mercy of God every service, every day. God, I know I'm worshiping you. You're putting up with me. Thank you for not casting me aside. Thank you for not... See, you're a child of God. You're allowed to run freely into his presence while you're fighting these areas. You're allowed to run freely in them as long as you're fighting these areas. The only danger is when you start making excuses to leave the flesh alone. The moment you start embracing your flesh, that's the moment you start walking away from God. So here you are, Jake the snake, the old rotten body. Well, is our body evil? Your body's not necessarily evil, but it's really not good enough. If it was good enough, God wouldn't replace it. But he's told us in Scripture he's replacing this whole body. That the voice of struggle, the voice of imperfection comes from your flesh, not from your spiritual man. Say amen if you're still with me. Say you're preaching good. See, because here's the thing. Yeah, I got mostly nasty things wrapped around Jake the snake, this body. I got drugs and anger and jealousy, emotions, smoking. There's a few other ones there. Independence, self-preservation. See, no matter how much the flesh tries even to act good, it still will never be good enough. See, the top 10%, we all understand. Yeah, don't do drugs, kids. You know, this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Don't do drugs. In Canada, they have big cartons of cigarettes that you buy, not the little ones you get down here. And they made a law where they have to post on the carton imagery of, to sell the carton has a picture. You have the name of the cigarettes and then a big carton pack that has a picture of a lady that's dying. And someone's lungs all black, and it's like disgusting. Every pack you buy is a disgusting picture on it. It says, don't smoke. And so when you buy it, it's supposed to remind you you're killing yourself, you know. You know, so we know these. We know smoking is not good in a sense. We know that drunkenness is not good. Lust is not good. But see, this is the 10% of the flesh that we have as a society have accepted as being not good. But underneath that is 90% of good things that your flesh will try to do. But it doesn't tell you to take your flesh and turn it into good. It tells you to do what? Mortify your flesh. This is different than discipline. This is different than characteristics of holiness. Your flesh can have characteristics of holiness, but not be mortified. Oh, that was a good one there. Yeah. Let me give you an example. Years ago, they had an article about models for magazines, top models being starved to death and being anorexic and being, you know, the imagery that was being painted in America was too skinny. And they tried to change it, but it didn't really work. So they've got a model who's not saved and she's tall and she eats one baby carrot a day. That's her lunch and that's all she gets. And so she gets born again. I'm not making fun of tall, skinny moms. So she gets born again. She has a characteristic of skinniness. But then you take another person who is a guy who is a little bit unmortified in his eating of buffets. He partakes of buffets pretty good. And he comes in the church and, you know, stop looking at me, all of you. And he comes in the church. And we know that gluttony is a sin. I always love that. Well, gluttony is a sin too. Which one is holier? The tall, skinny model who has disciplined her flesh to eat a carrot a day? Or the guy who's able to buffet it up? Which guy is holy? Let me ask you a question. The fruit of the Spirit can only come from the Spirit. It can't come from the flesh. Your flesh will gladly give up food for a carrot if it gets to stay in charge of the other areas of your life. You'll gladly throw smoking aside as long as you let it lead you. Oh, da, 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 da. There's a difference between having the flesh under control to mortification, is my point. Now, wrestling with your flesh, saying, I'm not going to put up with you anymore, I'm not going to give in to you anymore, that is the greatest first step of a faith, saying, I don't listen to my flesh anymore. But how many know you can put a guy down and he keeps coming back? Put it down and keeps that voice keeps coming back. See, you can wrestle with that voice over and over and over until one day you're tired, physically tired. You're emotionally drained. Or you're feeling a little bit low about yourself. And guess what will happen? You'll give in to that temptation. Mortification is when you go through the process of the Spirit. Are you understanding me? And you take the voice of your natural man, whatever that voice is that tells you you're not worthy. I'm telling you, I've said that word three times today. Unworthiness is a foundational voice for many of your struggles. Keep fighting the fruit instead of fighting the root. But when you allow the Holy Spirit and you go through mortification by the fruit of the Spirit, then what happens is you actually put to death that part of your natural soul that tells you, I need this. That's much different than just wrestling something to the ground. And it's available for you and for me. It doesn't matter how ugly your past is. Don't you accept that sucker as being truth. And don't accept the good part of your flesh as being good enough, because it's still not good enough. If it was good enough, God would not be telling us that he's going to replace it one day. Is it necessary? Yeah, you need your body or you're in heaven. Yes, we want our body. We want our body to be a submitted vessel and a mortified vessel. Amen. Want to be dead man walking. Amen. So the fruit of the Spirit is when we reach into that divine nature and we begin to add attributes to our inner man. Now, he tells us in 2 Peter a little hint. The imagery he's given us is your inner man, the moment you're born again, becomes like an infant. Right? It becomes like a child and it must grow. And it tells you the renewal process is for your inner man. The inner man is the part of you that must be renewed, not the natural man. Why? Because all the knowledge that it grew up in, all the knowledge that was taught by darkness, was deconstructed, plowed over the day you were born again. So there's two images you have to see here. If, you know, someone asked me, it was a good question. So if I just get born again and I go to heaven, the moment I'm in heaven, am I a little child running around heaven? It's a good question. Because the imagery is that you are an infant, but then it goes on to say it's about knowledge. It's about learning who you are. So it's not so much that physically your body becomes like a child, but all the knowledge that it had, all the wisdom that it gained through the darkness was deconstructed. And now it must be reconstructed, rebuilt, with the source no longer being this world, or the dark nature, but being the new nature and the Holy Spirit being your teacher. The Holy Spirit will teach you who you are. Line upon line, he'll teach you who you are, who your calling is. How many know your calling is different than mine? So how can we compare against each other? You're valuable to God. You are. Your calling is just as valuable as Pastor Dave's or anyone else's. Your calling is. It's different. See, it's not just about raising the dead and casting out devils and seeing blind eyes. It's about the body becoming the body and walking side by side, walking as a body in unity, and each man, each woman, allowing Jesus Christ to be our head. Let's see, Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. See, this is a fruit that comes in the Spirit. Now, do I have a mama here? Who's a mama? I got lots of mamas here, but everyone's being shy. Which one of you mamas love your kids? Aha. Come on up here. Got her. She's a very loyal person. But I'll guarantee you, if she loves you, someone hurts you, she'll whack them outside the head for you. So, do you love your kids?
Yes.
See, as a mama loves her kids. But see, there's a difference between loving your children and loving someone else's kids who's a rotten. See, there's a difference. The love of a mama is the best example we have, but it's not good enough. Thank you. That's good enough. Now, the mamas, don't get mad at me. But I learned this in Canada. First rule of hiking in the mountains of Canada. If you see a cute little bear, little brown bear, big old brown eyes going blink, 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 calling you over, come and pet me. Just a little tiny little cub bear. Just little round, curly, fluffy, round, brown hair, and you're hiking through the woods, and you stumble across a little baby bear, a cub, calling at you, help me, help me, help me. What do? First rule, turn around and run as fast as you can. And don't stop. Don't look back. Run, run, run. Why? Because if you see a little cute brown bear, mama bear is right there around the corner, and she will kill you and send you to heaven very quickly. Be kind of embarrassing, you know. You show up in heaven. What are you doing here? I got ate by a bear. Okay. Can you imagine it being joked about for eternity? Yeah, that guy, that's the one. That's what I was telling you about right there. But the animal has an instinct to love. But we would never compare the love of a mother bear to the love of a mother human. But why would we compare the love from a natural person to what can come out of the born-again spirit? You can't compare the two. I can take you to places where people who are not born again fast, lay their lives down, feed the poor. They're not born again, but they do tremendous good works for humanity. Guess what? Not good enough. Is all flesh evil? We won't necessarily call it evil, just not good enough. There's the love inside of you that comes from your nature that can be brought out of your nature. See, it's in your nature right now. But with the Holy Ghost's help, you can put on that new man. You can reach in. Go ahead, David. Reach into the new nature and put it on. Where does that renewal process happen? On your spirit man. Not on your outward man. On the spiritual man. That's where the fruit of spirit begins to grow and mature. So Philippians, we'll go back to Philippians real quick here. Glad you're still with me. Philippians where I was going to start. So we'll see if I get to go very far in this. Hold your finger there in chapter 3 and wait a second. We'll see if I keep going. I don't want to take you too late. So here you have your flesh full of evil things and good things that really aren't good enough. Most Christians try to live their life serving God out of their flesh, out of their body. But there's a process that he wants from us called mortification, where we begin to add to our new man from new nature the different fruits. We add fruit. Go ahead and keep adding a few more fruits there, David. Does this happen instantly? No. Because that's why he gives us the image that you're a child at salvation. You're an infant. You must grow. How do we grow? We grow within the knowledge. Where does that knowledge come from? The Holy Ghost teaching us spiritual to spiritual. And I'll pause here and tell you, the more I'm reading some of the scripture, I'm thanking God for Pastor Dave more and more, just on the fact that I'm seeing the Holy Ghost woven within scripture as our teacher, so much more important. I mean, I always thought he was. You know, when I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost and first began to pray in tongues, someone would say, well, why do you pray in tongues? Well, my pastor told me to. You know, why is it important praying in tongues? Pastor Dave said so. You know, but I'm discovering more and more just how important the having the Holy Ghost as our teacher, how important that is, more so than any other teacher. He's a teacher who will teach you line upon line how to put on the attributes, the fruit of the Spirit. Let's be clear, the fruit of the Spirit is different than a flesh that tries to pretend it has the fruit of the Spirit. That's not mortification. Mortification is taking every bit of voice of your flesh and turning your flesh into a submitted puppy where it just does what it's told. It's obedient to your inner man. Every thought, every emotion, every direction, every opinion, God wants those to come out of your spiritual man. And mortification is a process that may take you time. But if you don't give up, if you don't quit, see, I'm preaching to you again. Every lie the enemy tells you, your flesh will accept it because it believes that about itself. But you are born of God. You have a nature on the inside. If you just start right now, I had people tell me when I first started, hey, you need to quit praying so much. One guy got mad at me after I preached something similar and said, it's all not true. Everything Pastor Dave says is not true. Grabbed me in the lobby, said, it's all not true. We just need to go out and evangelize. It's all ours right now. It's all given. It's all there right now. And what he did was he confused the new nature for the inner man. When you see the difference that the inner man is your spiritual body, but the new nature is the nature in itself, complete. He confused the two. I'm already got everything of God. Yeah, you do in you, but you have to do the process of letting it grow from the new nature into your inner man, and at the same time mortifying the lies of your flesh. I had one gentleman tell me one time, it was very profound, I still remember it, I think about it quite often, he said, he was asking God about himself, he said, well, you're just loving yourself through loving that person. And basically what God was telling him was, you're doing an act of love to somebody, but really you're doing it to get love back. You're loving yourself to doing something for that person. And I realized myself that many of us make that pattern of, we think it's love, but it comes with a motive, a self-motive from the flesh. So there's a difference between mortification and discipline. Discipline's good as long as you're on the path of mortification. It's a good step. Yell at the devil. Tell him to go. Get out of here in Jesus' name. He'll go. Ah! You open the door. There he is again. I thought I told you to go. Get out of here in Jesus' name. Ah! What are you doing here, devil? Are you deaf? Go in Jesus' name, and don't you come back in Jesus' name. Are you deaf and dumb? I said, in Jesus' name, you go to hell and be chained in darkness. Don't ever return. Authority only lasted until I opened the door and found myself tired, lonely, depressed, and then the sin he was offering me, a big cake, something in me wanted what he was offering me. Authority did not work. I tried discipline. No more. Not going to do it anymore. Not going to do it anymore. Not going to do anymore. Plead the blood over mine. Not going to do it anymore. Not do it anymore. Till I was tired. You're nodding your head for some reason. See, mortification. Discipline's good. I tried prayer lines. I go up for prayer. They lay hands on me. I'd fall out. Power of God hit me. Oh, I could breathe. Hallelujah. The yoke's been destroyed. You know, the yoke is utterly destroyed. The yoke of bondage by the anointing of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 6 weeks later. What's going on? Well, the yoke was destroyed, but the demon that was tempting me was not destroyed. And the thing in my flesh that wanted what he was offering me was not destroyed. The anointing doesn't... Now, God will help you. Don't get discouraged. Don't think you have to fight this fight all by yourself. God will help you every step of the way. Get in every prayer line. Use your authority. Use your discipline. These are all steps of faith to say, I won't accept this as being who I am. The fact that you're fighting tells you you're on the right path. If you fail, brush yourself off, run into his presence, and enjoy God, knowing that you're not going to fail forever, because this process is not only a wrestling match in the season, but it also is a place where you will take hold of the thing within your natural soul, that part of your natural soul that is longing for what it's pushing you for. And you'll take it, and you, by the word of God, and by your spiritual man, inner man, will be nudged by the Holy Ghost. Kill it. Take it. Not just the fruit, not just the action, but the source that's pushing you towards that action. Maybe it's unworthiness. Maybe it's self-centeredness. Maybe it's independence. Whatever it is that's pushing you towards falling for things, that's what he's after. Not just the fruit, not just the evidence of it, but he wants you to go deeper to the very root of whatever in your natural man is pushing you. Do you understand that we have the ability to walk in a place of mortification where the natural man becomes just a vessel that allows us to stay on this earth, a submitted vessel? That's mortification. That's the end of the road that we're after. Walking this earth as mortified creatures. Do you understand? You can wait till heaven because you won't have your flesh with you. Your body will be here. So you'll be mortified. But to be able to do it on this earth, walk around with a mortified brain. Oh, hallelujah. A mortified, the very thing in you that's pushing you. That's what the Holy Ghost is after. That is mortification. You take it and you kill it. And it no longer drives you or pushes you anymore. That's freedom. That's what's available to each believer if we don't quit fighting. Don't quit fighting. Don't stop fighting. On the road to mortification, fight like crazy. Trick the flesh. You know, let's go out for lunch, flesh. Okay, oh wait, we're going to stop at church first. You know. You can trick your flesh into some things, you know. And whatever you have to do, do all those things. Do it all. But know that the end is not a lifetime of wrestling, but a place where you position that flesh. And some of you may have in one area a giant, but someone else in your area, you have a giant. So quit judging yourself for failing because you got a giant in an area. The guy next to you may not have a giant in your area, but they got a giant in their area. The biggest giants are the ones that look like God. The biggest giants, when your flesh gets all dressed up pretty in religious cloak and acts holy, because your flesh will be glad to act holy. Your flesh understands religion. Your flesh will be glad to act holy. You go to some countries where they don't believe in God and they chop your hand off if you're a thief. Listen, you can't drink in those countries. You can't drink in those countries. Girls, you have to cover your whole body. And just your little eyeballs get to show. Or they harm you. I mean, they have a down pat what rules. You can't listen. A little 16-year-old boy had his head cut off because he listened to music from Western country. Some guy walked by and heard music come out of his headphones. Make an example of him. They said, that's not holy. See, the flesh can understand holiness. It can act holy, but the flesh, even in holiness, is not good enough. We're talking about from your spiritual man growing and maturing and having the fruit of the Spirit overtake you and mortify not just the evil top 10%, but all the good stuff it tries to do to imitate God, pretend it's God. That's the path we're on. And I hope you know the difference. I hope you know the difference between the path you're on and the path that other people are taking and calling it godly. It's good. They're going to do good things for God. God appreciates it, but it's not good enough for a revival. Let's keep it up. Every one of us qualify for a path of revival. Every one of you. Every one of you is important. Don't judge your path as being a failure. If you haven't quit, you've not failed. Amen. Failure only is if you quit enduring. And you change your course. All the fight against my mind with my current battle is not just to make me feel bad about my day. It's the enemy trying to get me to say, I'm too tired to keep going. Right. You know, if I just accepted this, I can still do this. If I just, because sometimes it feels easier just to settle into whatever you're fighting. Mm-hmm. But then something rises up in me and says, shut up. There's no quit in you. I didn't birth you to be a quitter. God didn't birth you to be a quitter. It may feel like it from your flesh. It's a lie. That flesh is trying to get you to quit dragging it around. It wants to drag you around. Hallelujah. Let's keep praying in tongues. Amen. Let's keep fighting that flesh and let's keep on this path because there is a point. One by one, the root of what's pushing you in wrong direction will be mortified. You kill the root, no more fruit. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you that some days we don't like being on this path. Some days it's not easy. some days it feels like we're confused or on the wrong path because we judge ourselves compared to the wrong things. But we know that what you've worked in us thus far won't let us go down any other path, won't allow us to change course, to give up. So because of that, we only have one place to rely on for strength, and that's you. We can't do this in our own power. We need your grace. We need your strength. We need your hope on the days we feel like we can't make it. We don't want to just go for a shallow relationship. We want to have an honest, deep relationship with you. We don't want to just say we are these things and think that we're not. We want to go to a place where we believe with all of us, all parts of us, every bit of us, that we are your child, that we are going to stomp around this earth and cause the devil trouble, that all the gates that are built to protect his kingdom are going to be destroyed and they can't stand against the body of the church. We're going to change this world. So we thank you for your grace and your strength, your hope. You're everything we need. You're all that we have. Without you, we're lost. We've come so far with you that without you, we are lost. We have nowhere else to go. Nothing else will satisfy. So we rely on your strength and your grace. In Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who feel unworthy, that came out many times in the sermon. I want you, if you're struggling with unworthiness, just lift up your hands right where you are. I can do that too. Just remember that unworthiness, that voice comes from your flesh, from your past. It has nothing to do with your spiritual man, who you really are. So your first argument is not accepting that voice as being true at all. Even if it feels like it's true, it's not true, it's a lie. But for those of us, Father, who fight with unworthiness, I thank you that the lack of evidence in your life is not proof of your unworthiness. Father, I thank you that you're helping us to get past feeling unworthy, unqualified. But we'll begin to see ourselves for the way you see us, a strong, mighty, determined children of God, children of the Spirit. And those who are fighting unworthiness right now, I thank you for your grace upon them to look that in the face and say, liar, I don't accept you. You're a liar. I only look to the Word of God to tell me who I am. I do not look to how I feel. I do not look to my past mistakes. I do not look to my struggles to tell me who I am. I do not look at what I'm lacking to tell me where I'm going. But I look to your word and I look to your promises that say, I am an overcomer. And because I won't quit believing what you said about my life, I'm on the right path. I am an overcomer. I'm not a failure. And I receive your grace and your hope. Your hope is being poured into each of us right now. Your hope of a great future, of touching lives and changing people, not of striving, not of struggling, but to freely be able to express your love, your care, your provision to other people, your healing. Father, we thank you so much that we're part of a body. We're part of your body. And we are together. When one hurts, we all hurt. Father, there's parts of us here who are hurting. So we are all hurting with them. We are not looking over and judging each other. We're looking over and saying, I hurt with you, sister. I hurt with you, brother. Because we're together in this, side by side, to the end. We celebrate for those who are your blessing, those who are going forward. We don't look at them and think they're better than me or why not me, God. We look at them and celebrate that part of our body is being used. We are one body, Father, and we stand together. We thank you for your grace and your hope today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.